It's time to raise the roof for our third annual season preview podcast now? We've been doing
Yeah,
this
dude.
that long, which is scary to think about.
Wow. Jeez.
God,
Yeah.
man, we've been doing this for way too long. But welcome back to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. This is our season preview podcast. Today is opening day eve. The Rays will begin their 2023 season tomorrow at 3:10 Eastern against the Detroit Tigers. Funny how 25 years ago, the Rays' first ever game was against the Detroit Tigers. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it's kind of what happened there. They're not playing on the exact same day. The actual 25th anniversary of the first game is on the 31st. And we have something cool going along with that, which I will talk about in this podcast, just because I know a lot of people have been asking questions about it. But so we're going to talk about the season in general, the 26-man roster coming in, any sort of recent moves that have happened with the Rays. I know Grant Witherspoon, didn't he just get traded to the Tigers or something? Or
Yeah, I think he did.
yeah, that happened. There was they picked up a couple guys, they dropped a couple guys, gave them, cleared waivers and gave them the ability to go wherever they want with their careers and other things like that. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. This is a season preview, so we have an entire 162 games of baseball in front of us, and this is the 25th season of Rays baseball. So what better time to talk about this than the I mean, we do this every year, but this is literally the 25th season, or 25th anniversary year of Rays baseball. So 26th season, actually, because they do anniversary years weird. But with us is for the first time in a while, we've got the squad together, me, Evan, and Gibby, just because we're all busy.
The OGs.
The OGs. How you guys doing?
Excited for tomorrow. I am wearing a Michigan shirt now, but that will not be translating till to tomorrow in the weekend series.
Whoa, go State.
Not that
Sorry.
I hate the Tigers, but won't be translate that fandom will not be translating to
Go
this
State
weekend.
goes two ways since I'm down here now.
Well,
Oh
my state is NC
We had
State.
it first. We had it first. No, just kidding. We were our agricultural college at first. It
I'm
was
pretty sure
like some.
Mississippi State was an agricultural college too.
I don't think I was it called Mississippi State the whole time though?
I
Wasn't
don't
it?
know.
And
I don't know.
I think NC State's agricultural program is really, really good too. So
Everyone's
guess
agricultural school is
farming.
I guess
Farm.
that's.
We're facing the Detroit Tigers. My dad grew up in Detroit. He's a big Kirk Gibson fan. I'm a big Kirk Gibson fan. My name's literally Gibby. So you can literally can't have that without the same thing.
Are
But
you going tomorrow?
other than Kirk Gibson, no, I can't go tomorrow, but I might go Saturday. I got work tomorrow, unfortunately. The big man calls.
The
Big
big
man
man
calls.
calls
So
does.
that's how I'm doing. Yeah, I'm excited for the season. Excited to get this preview on the way, you know? I
Yeah.
might learn some stuff, you know. I only watched one preseason game. I watched Can you believe it? I watched fucking Chirinos pitch of like 4 innings. I was like, this is unbelievable. I haven't seen this guy in so long.
It's a throwback machine.
Every time you hear his
The
name,
way back.
every time you hear his name, you're just like, what? He's
You're
still
like,
on
wait a sec.
the
Like, I forgot about that guy.
team.
Is he like
Yeah.
he might be like the longest tenured Ray at this point. Is
That
he?
beats me.
I don't know.
Probably.
He's got to be.
He's
I mean, like,
he's
there is a
he's probably.
discussion for it.
He's probably top five. He's got to be up
Yeah,
there. He's been with the team
absolutely.
for a while, which is crazy to think about, but.
I kind of wanted him to get that last spot instead of Fleming, but I won't
Oh,
say much
me
about
too.
that.
Me too. We will
I
get
won't
into
say
that.
much
Yeah, well,
again.
definitely that is definitely worth getting into. But I wanted to make sure that we had before we started everything up. Evan, you didn't get a chance to talk about Dave yet. I've talked about him. Gibby's talked about him, and you haven't talked about him on the podcast yet. So if you want to share any thoughts about Dave, well, before we head
I mean,
into that.
it was heartbreaking to learn of that. I realized, like, growing up in Tampa or growing up not in the Tampa area, he didn't really connect with me as much just because I wasn't able to listen to him on the radio or anything. So I get like other Rays fans probably have a lot of better memories listening to him than I do, but he was awesome listening to through the Twitter videos that the Rays would post out like after the game, whether it be his call clinching the pennant in the 2020 playoff run. I mean, he had so many good calls. Like, it was very sad. But I don't have much. I don't have any like cool stories, unfortunately, about any times I was listening to him. But yeah, it was really sad to learn of that. And rest in peace.
And with that, Dave will be honored on April 22nd. So for anyone that is planning on going to that game or maybe considering going to that game, he'll be honored in a pregame ceremony. And they also put out the Dave Wills stickers that they're going to put the Rays are going to be wearing on the back of their helmets.
Yes, I knew it. I thought I said that should happen. I'm glad. I didn't know that happened though.
I'm glad that they did that. I think that's a really, really cool tribute.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, I mean, we'll always find ways to shout out Dave Wills, because I mean, he's a legend in the Rays. You know, in the Rays cinematic universe, if you want to call it that, in the Rays sphere of life. But yeah, I mean, he'll always be sorely missed. But from sad news, we go into somewhat, I guess, yeah, much more happy news, which is the Rays season is starting up. We're going to get baseball again, even though it kind of already felt like baseball for the last month because of the World Baseball Classic. So that pretty much kept me occupied. So yeah, absolutely. We do have a 26-man roster to discuss. We have an opening series to discuss. We have players to discuss. I'll finally get to pick Brandon Lau again because he won't be hurt. I mean, just good vibes all around.
It's gonna knock on wood. Knock on wood for that.
Knock on wood. Yeah, that is true. Let's start off with the 26-man roster. So the Rays have announced their final cuts. They've released guys or granted guys their release, gotten rid of traded guys away, things like that, to get down to the 26-man roster heading into the season. What I'm seeing here, or what I believe it's finalized to be, is Christian Bethencourt, Francisco Mejia behind the plate. In the infield, Yandy, Wander, Lau, Isak, and Taylor Walls. The outfield, Randy, Josh Lowe, Manny, Margot, Nuke Raley, or Luke Raley, however you want to say it, and Jose Siri. Ray's Bay has Harold listed as a DH, but he is, I would say, a pretty versatile player. So we can just call him a utility player. Mm-hmm. The starting five, the starting rotation for the season, Sugar Shane, Zach Eflin, Drew Rasmussen, Jeffrey Springs, and Josh Fleming, who was announced over Yanni, and a couple of other guys who I think people were maybe considering might get that fifth spot, but Fleming was the one who got it. In relief, we have Jason Adam, Jalen Beeks, Garrett Clevenger, I forget how to say that, Pete Fairbanks, Calvin Fauché, I think I pronounced his name right, Kevin Kelly, Colin Poche, and Ryan Thompson, and then currently injured is Sean Armstrong, Boz, Tyler Glasnow, and Andrew Kittredge, who I believe were either put on the 15-day or 60-day IL at this point.
I would assume Kittredge and Boz are on the 60, right?
I believe so. And then Glasnow either might be on there or he's on at least the 15 because
15.
He will be coming back at the end of April.
Yeah. He shouldn't be on the 60 day. He's not going to be out for 60 days, I don't think.
Yeah. So with that, so that's the 26-man roster. How do you guys feel about it? Are there anything, if we want to start off with the Fleming debate, we can, or if there's anyone else that pops out.
I'd like to shout out Josh Lowe because he did a great job in spring training. I think he did just what he needed to do to get back and within good contention with the Rays. Not that he wasn't producing. I just feel like he's kind of turned it around, and I hope whatever he's doing in spring translates to the regular season so he can just be a reliant outfielder hitting spot for us. He's been doing good.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about the Fleming, Chirinos, I guess Patino was probably in that conversation too. Yes. I doubt Taj was, just because we know the Rays, they love developing their players until they make sure.
I mean, he also hasn't gotten enough of an opportunity in AAA. Like, he's barely pitched. Yeah. So I understand that.
No, yeah, I don't blame them for, I don't think he should start in the majors. But I mean, unless Fleming has turned some like ginormous corner this offseason, the last time we saw him, at this point, I know Yarbrough's not on the team, but I'd rather have Yarbrough up there. I don't get what they saw in Fleming. When Chirinos has always looked good, like whenever Chirinos has been healthy, he's had solid numbers. He's been, and even when he came back last year, he was still pretty solid. He was better than Fleming too. And then I get Patino still needs to develop. He's still super young. But I don't know. I think Chirinos is, I trust the Rays and their front office to make those decisions, but I just don't know why Fleming made it over, and I guess we'll see in the next month or two, but I just don't know.
Yeah, Evan, I think you're like completely right, because I mean, I went to the game. I don't even remember who they were playing, honestly. Oh my God, I have such a terrible memory. Oh, we're playing the Red Sox last Saturday. I don't know how I forgot that. Torinos was pitching, and he pitched three scoreless, and he looked really good. I think Rafael Devers was had a few at-bats against him, too. He might have gotten a better – I don't know who got that home run on him in the fourth that kind of blew him up. But I think he was pretty – before that, he was pretty spot on. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised to see the Fleming kind of stick, but I think that's more of like a – I'm not sure. I just think Torinos could eat up more innings, like – Just being me. I mean, like, I don't think Ryan Fleming's really the stuff guy. He's definitely the, I'm going to eat up some innings. I might have like three runs on me by like the sixth inning. But that's enough for the offense to come out and win. But and Fleming, I feel like Torinos can blow up really bad, but he can pitch a game. It's like, he can pitch a six inning game, no runs. Like, it's no one's business.
And I think Fleming would be better in the bullpen too. Fleming would be a good piece to
have. Yeah, he'd be a good like extension guy. Exactly. Like a three inning guy.
If somebody has a bad game, like if Eflin or Rasmussen or Springs has a bad game, and we just need somebody to go in there and eat up innings, and Fleming I think is a perfect guy for that, because it's like, yeah, he'll give up a couple runs, but he'll pitch four innings. Like, who cares if he gives up a couple runs if you're already down like five?
Yeah, and weren't we having this weird thing with him last year where we weren't like fully starting him? We were like,
yeah,
putting a starter in and then having him go. Is that the guy? Or were we doing that with Fleming?
That was more Yarbs.
Yeah, that was Yarbs. Never mind. Okay.
Fleming was a guy who they used a lot as like a long reliever, where they used him three, four inning stints.
Yeah, but I would have loved to see Torinos there, but I'm glad we have him, you know, in case any other pieces of this puzzle fall down. Because, you know, we saw last year, it didn't affect the pitching as much. I mean, there were still definitely injuries on the pitching side, but it was really the hitters. It might be different this season. It might be that our arms get a lot more taxed as, like, 2021, per se, not like 2022 was more the hitter side getting affected heavily. So it'll be nice to see. I'm glad we still have Torinos there. I was happy to see him. Kind of disappointed he's not there, but I think Fleming has something to prove, you know? I guess we're doubting him now. Maybe he can show us who's boss, you know?
I completely agree. The way that I kind of saw the situation, I was bummed that Yanni didn't get an opportunity, because he got called up last year, and I think a lot of people were really excited to see him because he hadn't pitched for, I don't know, a couple years at that point. And he showed a lot of flashes in 2018, 2019, that he was a guy who could be, you know, a solid number three, number four starter. I don't think a number two, but definitely like a number three or number four for sure. Like Gibby was talking about, there was instances where he could blow up. But, I mean, any pitcher does that, especially, I mean, you know, speaking of guys who blow up, Fleming has had his fair share of really, really bad outings where he's been touched, and you know, his breaking pitches haven't been working. His fastball hasn't been working. And, you know, it's been, you know, his stuff is flat as a lefty instead of having movement. And when it's flat, it's really, really easy to hit. So I wanted Yanni to start the season. Now that Fleming's there, there has to have been, I know Ben Whitelaw put something on his Twitter about different movement within, Fleming's pitches and, changes in movement, especially with his breaking pitches during spring training. I don't remember much of it, but I know that there definitely was some sort of a significant change between last year and this year, even in a small sample size when it comes to just different movements. So hopefully that'll help. I'm still very concerned. But the good thing is
that
Glasnow's going to come back soon, or hopefully he'll come back soon and he'll be as healthy as we can hope. And Yanni is there in AAA if they need him. You know, Patino is going to be there in AAA if they need him, so they can have guys come up and down for spot starts. I know that there's that new thing in minor league baseball, or I guess the new thing within whatever that the agreement, I guess, that changed the or that ended the lockout, where guys can only move up and down so much over the course of a season. So I don't know how much that we would see those spot starts of either Yanni or Patino, unless they actually get into that starting rotation for a longer period of time instead of just one start. But that is a positive that both of those guys are going to be down there if the Rays need them, that they can go to them. But, you know, it's one of those things where we'll just have to wait and see. And luckily, he is the fifth starter. So we do have guys that are very competent guys that are in front of him. I mean, you have Eflin, who just came over, the largest free agent signing in Rays franchise history. That
about Eflin time. Eflin time. Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's fine. No, it just, I'm just.
We got to do that one when he does good. About Eflin time.
About Eflin time. Yeah.
I tried to make that tweet a banger, but it didn't.
Hey, I appreciate the effort. And it is Eflin time that we got someone like that. So that is good. And obviously, Sugar Shane up front. Nothing else needs to be said about him. Drew's had a really good time as a starter for the Rays, and Jeffrey Springs seems to just be pitching out of his mind and more than earned his extension. So there are four guys that are in front of him that are more than competent that can throw. It's just once we get to that fifth day, what's going to happen?
Absolutely. And our guy Poche is there again. Thank goodness we got him back.
Yeah, I had front row seats to the Poche show.
Oh my gosh. How bad was it?
It was fine, you know. He did his warm-ups. No pitches. Hey, every pitch made it to the glove. And every time the bullpen catcher went like,
oh, man.
Yeah. Like, did the nod, like, you know, like. Like
that wasn't a strike, but
it was good. Maybe you would have fallen for it.
It's like, you know, if there was a real ladder there, that would have gone 500 feet over the fence.
I don't want to get on to anyone too hard, but yeah. You know, he's had his moments. I hope he can have a bounce back, you know.
Me too. I'm gonna stop with the Poche hate. However,
yeah. New season, new slate.
However, the day that that Cash puts him in when we're up one or something or a tie game and he blows it, it's all over because
he's got a thin leash. Like, you're not even giving him
thin leash. That's what happens when he blows every lead last year. Like, it was clockwork, but he's a hard guy to cheer for, but I'm gonna be optimistic about him this year. I'm gonna turn a new leaf.
Well, I think he appreciates that. I know he's an avid listener.
I know he's listening. We love you, Poche.
I'm just stoking the fire within him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what it is. I did want to make sure
this. He listens to this with a four-finger full glass of vodka.
Oh yeah.
Takes it all in.
Him and Brandon Lau, I love doing it to him.
And then then Brandon Lau is just smashing doors at his house and listening to you.
we don't need that. Brandon doesn't need to destroy any more doors that are around him. I think another thing that I did want to discuss was the battle for position players. So and D-Ray's Bay talked about this. Well, I don't know. Oh yeah, Danny wrote this, but I guess the battle for the last couple spots. So it was basically down to Aranda, Bruhan, Lowe, and Raley. I guess in this, Walls was basically already guaranteed a spot, which it seems like he's changed his batting stance, and hopefully that'll amount to more success. I don't know how much it will, but hopefully it will. I know the same thing with Lowe, but now we've seen Lowe and Raley made the – I mean, Raley earned his
– Raley.
Undoubtedly. He had
Luke Raley is a true art.
Yeah, I hope that it turned into something good. I was disappointed to not see Aranda. I could care less about Bruhan because I feel like that experiment's kind of going down the drain at this point. We know he's a pretty good fielder, but his hitting is just not there. Walls is definitely the same. You know, Walls is, I would say, the better version of Bruhan in terms of offense, where their defense, I would say, is pretty comparable. Walls probably a little bit better, but Walls is definitely a much better hitter overall. So hopefully he'll be able to turn that around.
I guess they're both switch hitters, aren't they? Bruhan's a switch hitter too, I think, right?
I don't know for sure. They should just pull a Cedric Mullins and just go to one side and hit there because
if Wander's this bad again at the left side, I'm going to start
Are you going to start a dialogue?
On the right side. No, I'm just going to be like, please, please start. Just stop batting lefty, Wander, because he was awful from the left side last year. But he's young, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I completely understand that. But with that, we do have Josh Lowe on the roster. This is now, what, year three of figuring out the Josh Lowe situation? Gibby, are you trying to do that? Josh Lowe's got a mustache.
I think year two, right? He made his debut last year, right?
No, he played in 2021 a little bit.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and then 2022 happened, and it was not good. But objectively, yeah, it was definitely not a good year for Josh Lowe. There was a lot of things that did not go well for him. But it seems like he's switched up his batting stance. He seems to be more aggressive to the ball. He seems to have a shorter swing. It kind of looks like Chase Utley. Just Chase Utley is a near Hall of Fame player, and Josh Lowe isn't. So take that for what you will.
Yeah.
Josh Lowe is Nate Lowe's brother.
Mississippi State, Nate Lowe.
Yep.
It was funny. They did like a mic'd up thing on completely. This just like an aside. They did a mic'd up thing on Nate Lowe for the Rangers. And after, I guess they say this, I haven't heard this in Mississippi State games, but apparently they say after the national anthem to like go to hell, Ole Miss. No clue that they said that. And then Lowe said it after the national anthem. I was like, that's a thing, I guess. Didn't know that. Completely random and an aside, but
yeah,
how do you feel about the decisions of not bringing up Aranda? And I think that Raleigh is fine more or less just because he had a good spring, but
I think it's Walls,
trying to figure out what's going on with Lowe.
I think it was more so, I know they don't play the same position because Aranda's second base and first base, right?
Aranda's more of a first baseman, but I think in this he's more listed as a DH. But I think he can play first base. He's just not good at it.
Okay. But it was just like Walls is kind of – is very, very similar to Brujan. I agree with that. And, I mean, unless he has a huge change in his batting approach, let alone just hitting the ball, like I don't know. Aranda showed a lot more promise last year. I know his defense isn't there, but – he also doesn't need to play defense. He could, like you said, he could DH. And Walls, his defense, I've said this a million times, but his defense, his offense is not nearly enough to compensate his defense, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the Rays did it because they're looking at the shift now and they're like, well, that's gone. There's other things we have to do. Maybe they just want more defense in that spot, which is what they wanted last year too. I can't really, I don't know. You know, Taylor Walls, he's hot and he's cold. You know, he can deliver sometimes in big situations, I guess. He do kind of got that dog in him in those big moments. But I don't know. You know, I would like to see Aranda. I know he won't play the same position, like you said, but I'd like to see Aranda up there. And I know that's not because Taylor Walls is in the way. But, like, you know, there's some other guys we can – probably, you know, make room for. Like, I'm not sure. We'll just have to see how Josh Lowe does, how Luke Raley adjusts to the regular season, and how Taylor Walls does being Taylor Walls. I guess he probably won't get as many at bats this year if the lineup stays healthy. So maybe we'll, in a smaller sample size, we can see him in like late game moments, we can see him kind of blossom from there if he gets in the game.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Lowe in there. I always almost call him Lowe, and I call Brandon Lowe. It's that's so annoying.
You still need to work on
it's, that. I do. It's so annoying. But no, I like the 26 man roster in terms of the position players. I don't know. Like you said, Aranda had a very strong case, but. And I do think he probably should have made it over Walls, but other than that, I think it's a very solid roster. And yeah, we're very thin at center field, though. I didn't realize that. I mean, Josh Lowe, I guess, can play center field too, but
Manny can play center field.
Yeah, that's true.
They have three guys that could play center potentially.
Okay,
so not
the I want to see that DUR coming from Jose Siri this year, like a full season. It might be crazy if he gets through the whole season.
I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. He is a fast man, as we saw. He decided
to go. I was at that game, and that was the hypest I think, a spring training game has ever been, especially with the numbers they've been having at the Trop in spring training. Most of them haven't been selling that well, but I sound like Trump right now, kind of doing like a Trump speech pattern. I don't know why. they're losers. They don't sell much. but I don't even know what I was saying, but.
You, I mean, we're talking about it being
a good game. Oh, yeah, it was a good game. It was probably the hypest spring training's been so far, even though I haven't really watched much else of spring training other than that game, because I can't stand watching that shit on the TV. Sorry.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. I'll look at the stats after. I'll be like, all right.
Nice. I can't either. I can't get into spring training to save my life either.
Well, thank God
for the I'll always go to the game. It's always a nice experience going. You know, especially growing up around here with all these spring training teams and such. But
I think what we're going to do, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll get into the rest of everything. So stay tuned. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back on this latest episode of Raise the Roof.
Hi, everyone. Alex here with a quick word from our newest sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is your one-stop shop for tickets for everything from live theater and concerts to sporting events like Rays games. SeatGeek uses a color-coded scale to show you where the best deals are, with green being good and red being bad. If you haven't used SeatGeek before, we have a special deal just for you. Use code RAISETHEROOF, that's RAISE spelled R-A-Y-S, at checkout for $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Again, that's code RAISETHEROOF for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thanks so much to SeatGeek for sponsoring us, and let's get back to this latest episode of Raise the Roof.
And we're back on this latest episode of Raise the Roof. Before we get into stuff about opening day and the opening series, what I wanted to do was talk on here, A, about a thing that we have going on Twitter right now. One of a good friend of ours who has been doing a lot of really, really cool, I'm trying to think of the right word. Yeah, just cool graphics for us. I think I want to make sure I get his name correct, because I'm definitely going to flub it in some point, but Jimmy Garakos, I forget how to say it completely, but he's been helping us out a lot with graphics, and you'll be seeing a lot more graphics from him during the season. We're doing stuff right now where he's customizing, creating like customizable Rays wallpapers for opening day. So if you guys want, feel free to find the tweet. The tweet's on our Twitter account, so just look for Raise the Roof TB on Twitter. You'll be able to find it there. And all of the instructions are in the tweet. I mean, it's really, really simple. And if you guys want to have your own customized Rays, what's it called? You know, customized Rays wallpaper for opening day, feel free. We have that there for you guys. So definitely make sure to check that out and check out all the stuff that we have going on social media. The other thing I wanted to mention was we do have a really, really cool giveaway that is happening on the 31st, which is the actual 25th anniversary of the Rays' first game in franchise history. This is really, really cool that I'm even saying this, but we are partnering up with the Bay Republic, which, if you guys don't know, is the team store of the Tampa Bay Rays. You guys can go there at Tropicana Field and get everything that you want. They also have the Bay Republic store online, but we are going to be partnering up with them and doing like a 25th anniversary Rays giveaway. So they're going to, I believe there's going to be a hat involved. There's going to be a pennant. There's going to be a t-shirt. I'm trying to think, there's going to be like a 25th anniversary baseball, pin, keychain, pen, like a bunch of stuff. It's all going to be like a giant package that you guys can go enter the win. And we'll put that out. So that's going out on the 31st, and all the details in terms of how to enter and all of that stuff. I know one of it will be, you'll have to follow us and you'll have to follow them. So definitely stay tuned for that on the 31st, and we're going to be doing more stuff with them over the course of the year. So this is a really, really cool partnership, and we're really, really glad to be able to do it. So I wanted to make sure that we at least announced it to some extent beforehand. I won't announce it on Twitter. I'm only going to announce it on pod, and then we'll have it on Twitter. So definitely stay tuned for that, and stay tuned for more giveaways between us and them over the course of the season.
I wish I could sign up for that. I probably could.
Can we sign up for that?
I don't know.
If I win, it might be sketch, though, you know?
Yeah,
We might get in some internet drama if one of us accidentally wins.
Yeah, I think that'd be a conflict of interest.
All that stuff sounded really cool, man. I hope you guys joined that.
Yeah, no, it is really cool. I mean, I'm sure that we'll find ways to get... I know that we have other giveaways that we're going to do, and I'm sure that there's ways that we're going to be able to figure out stuff. Also, another thing, because we did this to some extent last year, we're going to be partnering up with Fergs again. We're going to be giving away tickets every month for the entire year. So we're going to be, I think, giving away two tickets to a game every month. So that'll be, you know, every month of the season. So April, May, June, July, August, September. I guess October. I don't know how we're going to work that out, but definitely at least April through September, we're going to be giving away two tickets to a game every month. So definitely stay tuned for that and be on the lookout.
Yeah, guys, go to Ferg and tell them Gibby sent you. Don't do that. you actually can say Raise the Roof, you know, podcast, you know, shouts out.
That would be cool. And
that would be cool.
Ferg is a great place.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
After games, before games, whatever you want to do.
Fuck yeah.
So do stay on the lookout for that. Now let's go into talking about, so I do have the press release up for the series, just talking about what's planning on happening. I also,
you know what we never talked about though?
What?
I don't think we ever talked about the end of the World Baseball Classic.
We did not, and it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Japan.
It was depressing on my end because I wanted the U.S.
Yeah. I had a tweet that kind of banged that I kind of wanted to talk about how I think it was cool that we had 10 guys in the World Baseball Classic, getting as much guys in there as possible. And I feel like it helped. I feel like playing meaningful baseball with these guys in spring instead of some fucking game or some practice where they're literally getting, you know, starting pitchers have to do the line drive practice, you know, like that doesn't seem injury prone at all. You know, I feel like it's like actual meaningful baseball. It's not like useless, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be argued that's a little bit more injury prone than what a spring training game would be, but you know, injuries happen in spring training too. That's Yandy Diaz. So it's really cool that the World Baseball Classic happened and we had all those players in there.
And we got like the matchup,
and they were good
and they were good. Randy's on fire. I hope he continues that.
Isak, you know, was good too. Isak was good.
Yeah, exactly. So like
Adam had good out, and then I mean, literally, like it couldn't have happened. And it seemed like the script writers of baseball were like, we have to make this happen in the ninth.
Yeah, the Mike Trout
Ohtani with two outs just.
Have you seen the, oh my God, there's that one edit where it's like Mike Trout said, or like they asked him, it's like, what are you going to do if you have to hit against Shohei Ohtani? And he says, I don't know. I'm going to go for it though. What did Shohei say? And then Shohei said, God only knows. And then, and then it just goes to like the edit and it's like Shohei striking him out and just, it's just a good edit. I don't know. It's probably on Twitter.
Shohei is superhuman.
I mean, yeah.
I think that's what we figured out.
Yeah.
If you didn't know it already.
I mean, he's $800 million player right there. He's got a big contract. Big contract.
Evan, we didn't get a chance to talk with you during any of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, I watched every single U.S. game, I think.
Hell yeah.
Except for, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the Venezuelan game, but I obviously saw all the highlights. That was
freaking
sick. It was also hilarious how most of the offense came by Phillies fans. I obviously wanted the U.S. to win, but I think it's kind of funny that all of the offense mostly came through the Phillies players.
Yeah.
And they somehow came in second once again, which was kind of funny. That the city of Philadelphia, sorry, Alex, but they just seem to always finish in second.
I can't deal with this. I mean, like, see, I don't care much about the Phillies, but like, and the Union part of it, I'm really pissed off about because they should have won MLS Cup.
We don't
need to go into soccer here.
I'm just saying it's kind of funny. It was kind of funny. It was like, oh, well, that was like kind of the one thing I took in consolation after losing. I was like, oh, well, at least the Phillies guys came in second once again. That was funny. But
bold prediction. I think the Sixers are going to lose in the finals again.
No, the Sixers are going to lose in the second round like they always do.
They're going to get swept by the Celtics whenever they play.
They're going to lose in the second round. It's a guarantee.
Yeah.
The Celtics.
Never mind. I take it back.
I wish they could get to the finals. That would be great. That would be fantastic. That's further than they've ever gotten in a while. But I know that's not going to happen just because that's how life works and life makes me suffer.
Life makes me suffer. Oh, and I went to my first MLS game. You said
yes.
MLS.
Tell this story because you didn't get to tell the story on the
Yeah, I didn't even get to tell the story, but I mean, if you're listening, it's pretty cool. So I went to a game, MLS game, in Orlando City. It's pretty hype. They drum up the whole time. They're like, they're shouting, Orlando, like the whole time. It's pretty hype. There's a lot more offsides calls in soccer now than I remember, and it's because of that new technology where they have the
ball tracking,
all that shit. Anyway, I'm not gonna talk about soccer much longer. But with me at the game, I won't really explain the connection, but I got to see. He's a friend of a family member, the punter for the Kansas City Chiefs, Tommy Townsend, was with me at the game. And he was watching the game with us. He was just as hype as everyone else. He was even more hype than me, which is like somehow, you know, I don't know. But every time there was a goal, there was a lot of goals and then not goals. You know, that happens a lot in soccer. And you know, he's always the one that's cheering and then oh, and everyone else is cheering around him. He's like, nah, it's not good. It's not good. It's like oh, fuck. Like no one knows soccer. So I ended up asking him because it's a punter for the Kansas City Chiefs at the soccer at a MLS soccer game, and so I'm gonna ask him. It's like, have you ever had any like soccer experience or anything? Because that's a common thing for punters, you know, like Pat McAfee, for example. I asked him, and he said, "No, I haven't played that since like the third grade." So I just thought it was funny that, you know, he didn't have really any
naturally talented at punting.
Yeah. He's just so naturally talented, but yeah, it was a cool story. I don't know. I was supposed to tell a story cause it happened before the last pod I was on.
well,
somehow I just didn't
matter. You got a chance to tell it.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's a cool.
Yeah. Story. I wonder what percentage of NFL punters played high school soccer. It's probably
It's probably a lot. I mean,
there's like what, 32. So just however much percentage of that is.
It's probably a good percentage. It's probably at least like 27 to 32, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is.
Gibby, did we get a chance to talk about that Maryland USF series where you decided to go shit on Kevin Keister for no reason? and then Maryland won 2 out of 3.
It's his fault. His name's Keister, bro. I mean, all the fans were all after him. I mean, that game is especially
okay. Like, Maryland took 2 out of 3.
Exactly, 2 out of 3. It doesn't matter.
We went to Ole Miss, and I had to watch.
It's because I went to the second game, and unfortunately, we got our asses kicked. So that's nice.
It's okay.
Yeah, I got to watch that
Ole Miss next game or next series. So
yeah,
it's all good there. But we can talk about college on another thing.
Let's go back to what the pod's about.
Yes. Rays, let's go back to talking about opening day, coming up tomorrow, opening series for the Rays. Topper has out his projected lineup for tomorrow. The Rays will be facing off against Eduardo Rodriguez of the Detroit Tigers. What he has as his projected lineup is Yandy leading off playing first, Wander playing short, batting second, Isak at third, batting third, Randy in left field batting cleanup, Harold Ramirez as the DH hitting fifth, Manny Margot in right field hitting sixth.
Is Yandy Diaz out of this lineup? Did you say Yandy Diaz?
Yes, he's leaning off in this.
Project. Oh, I'm freaking stupid. Why did I not hear that?
B-Lau at second hitting seventh. Christian Bethencourt behind the dish hitting eighth. And then Jose Siri batting ninth in center field, and Sugar Shane is taking the mound for the second straight opening day. So that is his projected lineup. I will say, in terms of things that are happening, I do have the press release up for the series. First pitch is at 3:10 tomorrow. Gates are opening up 2 hours before, so that's 1:10 for anyone that's going. All fans are going to be getting all fans while supplies last are going to be getting a 2023 schedule magnet. So be on the lookout for that. Also, James Shields not only will be symbolically retiring as a Ray, even though he hasn't pitched and played in Major League Baseball in quite a few years, he will be throwing out the first pitch tomorrow. So definitely be on the lookout for that if you're going or if you're watching it, which is going to be really cool.
You're a legend, man. I love you.
He is a legend. It looks like all three games are going to have Gates opening 2 hours beforehand. So Saturday, first pitches at 4:10, gates open at 2:10. Doesn't look like there's any sort of giveaways. And on Sunday, first pitches at 1:10, gates open at 11:10. And it will be the first of three people, either players, former coaches, whomever it might be, to be inducted into the inaugural Tampa Bay Rays Hall of Fame, which is Don Zimmer, the former coach for the Rays, posthumously will be inducted. And the creepy Zim Bear thing that was given away some years back will be a bobblehead now. So people were scared of that. Guess what? You're going to be getting more of it on Sunday. Yay.
Woo!
So that's what's going on this weekend. I don't know if there's anything else of note, but I'm sure you guys saw the ballpark passes happening this year. $49 a month, $249 for the season. You guys can go stand in different places around the stadium. Yeah,
stand. Woo!
That's a great deal. Hey,
and
that's...
I don't condone this, but maybe, just maybe,
yeah,
there might be a place you can sit.
Yeah, come on, like he said, I don't condone that, but like
we're not going to condone this. But
like condoning ad block or something. Like, don't do that. Either.
But if I were to hypothetically,
I definitely condone ad block.
Yeah, me too.
If I would hypothetically get this pass, I would probably be sitting every game. They don't care. Like, come on.
Yeah, they don't ever check your ticket.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, so
except for maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow they'll be pretty strict.
Tomorrow because it's sold out. But otherwise, might not as much. But yeah, so that's a thing that's going to be happening. There's going to be $10 tickets in certain sections. It's basically looks to be the party deck section and then certain areas of the lower level, which seem to be the corners. Up a certain way within the actual seating, within the section itself is when the $10 tickets start. So those are happening. I believe that the Rays, I don't know if there's going to be any sort of like beer, beverage concession things. I know that at Ballpark and Rec, when the game that I went to last year and Gibby was there, they had like, it was discounted at Ballpark and Rec compared to other places within the ballpark if you go before the game.
Yeah.
Now, if the same thing is going to happen, but I would assume that that would be the case because I don't know why they would get rid of a good deal. So,
yeah,
I don't think there's anything else of note that's happening, at least for this series. I know that, you know, at the Bay Republic, they'll have a bunch of 25th anniversary Ray stuff. If you guys want to buy that online, if you want to go to the Trop and buy it there, all of that should be available. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, how do you guys feel? I will say, how do you guys feel about Topkin's projected lineup for tomorrow?
Lau batting seventh is kind of surprising, but I like it. I think that's definitely our best nine right there, our best 10, including Shane. But I'm just shocked that Isak batting three and Lau batting seventh, that's kind of surprising, I would think. But I like it. I think that's how it should be. I'm so glad Walls is not in that lineup. I'm excited to see this. I think it's a really, really good nine. Jose Siri, not the best with his bat, but his defense makes up for that. And then it's kind of surprising to see Bethancourt being catcher number one over Mejia, I think, because I think for the majority of last year, Mejia was probably catcher number one. I mean, it was pretty much a platoon, but I do think Mejia was number one. But no, I'm excited, and I'm excited to see Margot. I'm excited to see all of them, but I'm excited to see how Margot bounces back after a really good season last year.
Really carrying our team, honestly.
Until he got injured too, but
yeah, having all those guys back, it just brings so much joy to me. Because last season, kind of a joy suck. Just like every good player is getting injured at some point. I mean, not every, but the pitching still being dominant. But I mean, when pitching is dominant that frequently and really leaning on it that heavy, it does lead to some more boring outcomes in games. But you know, with this season, with a healthy hitting lineup, I think things are looking good.
I completely agree with that. I think it's cool that Lau is going to bat seventh in this projected lineup, because that's just kind of a flex that, like, if Lau is you know, if everything's been worked out, if he's looking good, then like that's one of the best seven hitters in all of baseball.
Let's let him earn it. You know,
and it is climb back face. I guess because we're facing a lefty too tomorrow, I guess we have to factor that in too.
That is also true. That was the other thing I wanted to state, is that Erod is a lefty, so I think that's worth talking about. I did also, I don't know if you guys
tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this, but this Jeff Passan put this out like an hour and a half ago. Apparently a deal has been put in place between so what I'm reading here, it says breaking, a deal is in place between the minor league players in the MLBPA and Major League Baseball on the historic first collective bargaining agreement for minor leaguers, union officials tell ESPN. Deal is 5 years and includes at least 2x pay at all levels of the minors. So basically,
fucking God.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing here, this is what Passan's saying in terms of pay increases over everything. Players that are in the complex league are going from making just under $5,000 a year to $19,800. Low A goes from $11,000 to $26,200. High A goes from $11,000 to $27,300. Double A goes from $13,800 to $30,250. And Triple A goes from $17,500 to $35,800. So that's, I mean, I know this isn't like.
I've never heard the like the minimums before. Like the minimums from before,
less than 5K a year in the complex league,
literally freaking crazy. Under five,
well, that's good to see.
But it's really good to see.
Related because a lot of the guys that we're going to be seeing, guys like Curtis Mead and Tristan Gray and Taj Bradley and Patino and Yanni down there in AAA, like they're going to be, you know, they're not going to be in the majors the entire year. They're clearly not starting out in the majors, so.
Yeah.
These are livable wages that they're now going to be able to, or hopefully more than
more with livable wage. You know, the lower ones were kind of still low, but it's fine. You know, as long as we're going somewhere, we're getting somewhere. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a really good thing that is happening.
I hope health benefits and stuff are included with.
Yeah, I did want to mention that just because it was happening. While we're going back to talking about the series. Because this, we haven't done this in God knows how long. But we got to talk about keys to the series because, I mean, it's the first series of the year for the Rays. They got to start.
Fuck,
the
I don't even know. Fucking hit that ball.
Yeah. I have no idea what to expect hit from the Tigers. I think the Tigers are going to be better than.
Is Austin Meadows going to be playing tomorrow?
I don't know.
That's a Is good he question.
Hurt? He was hurt a lot last year.
I'd like to see him. I love that guy.
This is me looking up Austin Meadows injury news. Let's see if he's dead. I don't think he's dead, guys. I think he's good.
He's projected sixth in the lineup.
Oh, there we go.
Let's go.
This is from a blog. This is from a blog, though. But
watch him blow up tomorrow. Honestly, that's the key to series.
I forgot.
Sure that, you don't get on that guy's bad side. Don't.
Miggy didn't retire.
I thought he retired. Did he not?
He's still there.
What no, the this is his oh, last season. No, he no, said this is his last season.
Ah.
He said this is his last season.
Because Pujols was last year. We got
right. Yeah.
And so is.
But there's like
so
nothing significant with Miggy because like he's already got 3K. He's not going to get 600 home runs. So he's already got 500. Like,
and he's not going to get.
He's just playing for pride at this point.
Yeah. He's just playing because he loves. He just
he's
loves
playing ball. For the city of Detroit.
He just loves
Detroit, ball. Baby. Let's fucking go. I'm just kidding.
But
his passion.
But yeah, I don't know what to expect from the Tigers. I think that they're going to be better than I think most people think. I don't think they're going to be last place in that division. But yeah, keys of the series: hit the ball far and hit it long, and see Shane tomorrow. I'm excited to see what he's got. I have him on my fantasy team, so
that stuff.
So I'm expecting even if he's not as good as he was last year, I'm going to be very upset. But yeah, I'm also excited to see what this bullpen is like, because this bullpen is different than it has been in years past. Like, we don't have – it's good, don't get me wrong, but we only have, I think, two guys who are like, I know they're shutdown guys, and in the past we had three or four.
One guy I'm curious about.
I'm excited to see Armstrong back. I think he showed a lot of promising stuff last year. But other than Adam and Fairbanks, it's really kind of just questionable. And Ryan Thompson, we know he's been around a lot.
Wait. Armstrong is injured to start the season, is he not?
Yeah. I'm excited to see him come back though.
The only name I didn't recognize on this active roster, really, was Kevin Kelly.
Yeah, me too.
Relief pitcher.
Yeah, he's a. They picked
so
him
I'm
up.
Curious
guy. I can give you the lowdown on him. He's a
Yeah,
Dutch
give me the
Curaçaoan
lowdown.
baseball player. He
Was he on
doesn't
a
look
Dutch
like he's
team
from Curaçao.
by chance?
He's a
Wasn't there a
what?
Dutch? Wasn't there a Netherlands
He doesn't look like
team?
he's from Curaçao at all. What the hell? He's Dutch, ain't? Oh no. They said he was born in Springfield. He was born in Springfield, Virginia. Someone's lying.
Oh, he's
That's like 20
what?
minutes away from
You're
me.
saying he's
Yeah, yeah,
Kevin
yeah. And then
Curaçao.
another place said he was born in Curaçao, so I don't know what to believe.
Oh, wow.
It's either he was born in Virginia or he was born in like a sister country of the Netherlands.
Oh,
If
he went to JMU? Nice.
yeah,
Nice.
he was drafted by the Cleveland Guardians. He spent I don't know who he spent last. I guess this is his is this his first big league? Yeah. This will be his first time in a big league roster. He was with Cleveland for the last year. He was in Akron and in Columbus.
What trade did we get him in anyway?
What?
What did
I think
we
I picked him up as either a Rule 5 or just like a free agent. And being
Okay.
the Rays, they found a way.
Hey, that's my key. That's my player,
Wait,
Kevin
hold
Kelly.
up. No. This Kevin Kelly is not the same thing. Sorry, whoever this Kevin Kelly is not the same thing.
There's probably a lot of Kevin Kellys who play
Yeah,
baseball
no.
over
So there's one who's from Curaçao, and then there's one who's from Virginia. And the one who's from
there.
Virginia is on the Rays because I was like, Kevin Kelly does not look like he is from
Kevin
Virginia.
Kelly catastrophe. Oh my God.
No, he is that. This is a completely different person playing for the.
That's my guy though. I'll pick
What
him.
the hell?
We can transition to that real quick.
Conqual Hoof de Clase. I don't even know
Who?
what I just said. It's a professional baseball league in the Netherlands. What the hell?
Is this the other Kevin Kelly or is this our Kevin
No,
Kelly?
this is the guy from Curaçao.
How
Oh, okay.
nasty is this
What
other
the
Kevin Kelly?
hell is
I kind of want other than
Yeah,
Kelly. Oh, sounds lit.
should we go get this other guy? Who is this other guy?
I don't want to show
He's
on
32
Kevin
years
yet.
old. He is
He
okay.
not never too old.
sorry, my brain's hurt.
Oh yeah,
What
true.
are
The
stats?
natural, the natural.
Let's see his stats. Oh,
I don't
that's
even
our
know if he has stats. He played at
guy.
Western Oklahoma State College and Southwestern Oklahoma State
He was
University.
1-1 with a 9.72 ERA.
I just found
But that
out.
was in
Wait, hold on.
2009, 2010. So
There is
he
a Western Oklahoma State College and a Southwestern Oklahoma State University.
I feel like these are made up.
I don't think that. I think this guy is just a mirage, to be honest.
This is
But
just
the actual Kevin Kelly,
Can we get this guy on the
yeah,
podcast, please?
no.
We need this guy's life
No, but
story.
the actual Kevin Kelly, who's on the Rays, came from Cleveland, pitched in AA and AAA last year, and is on the roster and apparently has good. The Rays find ways to get guys because it's the Rays.
Kevin
So
Kelly.
they didn't get some
About
random
that.
ass dude from the from who's from Curaçao. I can tell you that. Because I thought it was
All right,
that,
so
and I
now
was
that that's cleared up, I'll pick him. He's my key player
both of
here.
them.
You got both
You'll
of
take both of them. That's
them. I'll
it.
take both of them.
Both of the
There's
Kevin
the
Kelly.
Italian guy. What is he? No, he's
He's
Dutch.
not
Sorry, yeah,
Italian.
Dutch.
He's from Curaçao.
Yeah,
Curaçao has no
I know.
ties to
I
Dutch.
forgot. Okay, what can I say? All right, but yeah, I'll pick him. You guys want to pick someone
Yeah, no, we gotta do
before I
pickup.
have to leave?
So like actually like is your I mean you can pick more than one guy. You know that we
No,
do.
Kevin Kelly, that's it.
He's all in.
He's gonna
That's
shut
a bold
down.
statement. Watch Kevin Kelly just have a series.
What? He
He's
might hand the opener over, honestly.
Watch him have
We'll
like three saves and just dominates.
see.
That would be
Yeah.
awesome.
That'd
But
be
who knows?
awesome.
Evan, who's your pick a player? Or players, I should say, plural, possibly.
I'm gonna go Paredes for the season. He's my season pick.
Okay,
I
I
think
like
he's
that.
gonna be I think he's gonna have a
Ooh, for the
breakout season
season.
pick or seasons he's gonna have a breakout season. Like I said, he performed really, really well in the WBC. I mean, he's still super young. He's only what, 23 years old or 24, I guess now. But I mean, he showed a little bit of power last year. He obviously had that three run home. He had that three home run game against the Yankees last year, which was awesome. But I'm expecting him to take a bigger step this year. But for this weekend, I'm gonna go. I'll go. I mean, I it's kind of chalk, but I'll go Yandy. I also have him on my fantasy team, so I'm expecting him to show out and continue his momentum that he had last year.
I like that. So finally, I can actually do Bilal as an actual pick instead of just like a please get better pick. And I think that he's looked really, really good in spring training, so that bodes well. So I'll go Bilal on offense, and then give me Poche on the mound.
I was just going to say that. I'm picking Poche for my pitcher, too, just to prove that.
Yeah, even though he's on a short leash and you yank that shit at any point.
He's on the shortest leash of all time, but I'm trusting this weekend.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, we don't have much time left, but in terms of I did want to talk about the season in general. I mean, what do you guys think is going to happen with the Rays coming off of what happened last year? Because I don't know if last year's an anomaly or if last year is more of a reality than we think.
I mean, I think last year's really is an anomaly. I mean, I hate to say that before going into season and really proving it, but the amount of it, the injury plagueness of last year was to levels unknown to a MLB team, and to still make the playoffs is truly unbelievable. I mean, for a second we were about to climb to first, but you know, it got shut down real quick. It was like 8 games out. It was like,
yeah, we were 3.5 games out of first.
Oh, place 3 games out. Yeah, 3.5 games. Yeah,
it was close. And then
we had a series in New York in like early September, and we were 4.5. Then I think it was in New York, and then we beat them to go 3.5 back, and then they smoked us the next 2 games, and it was like, yeah, that was pretty much over. But
yeah, I mean, I'm expecting a lot from this team. I see a lot of last season as like injury plagueness and like just all there's everything going wrong, but still somehow going right for the season overall, just not really in the playoffs. Like, I don't want to see a pathetic push like that into the playoffs where we only scored one run. And I don't think this team could do that if they tried. I mean, if they got paid money to do that in a playoff game. I think this team, if you transport this team, you just time warp them, not all injured, you know, to the playoffs, they're going. But, you know, that's not realistic. That's not realistic baseball. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be a lot of the stuff that happened last year. I just don't know which side it's going to go to, you know. We have a stacked pitching. Like, our pitching's so stacked. We're going to have McClanahan and Tyler Glasnow for most of the season.
I mean, I agree. I do think last year, like, I get that every team faces injuries. Like, I'm not trying to, like, get pity for the Rays because of how many injuries they did. But I feel like they did have an abnormal amount. And even if we, I mean, obviously, there are going to be injuries this year. They're going to happen to our best players. I obviously hope they don't, but that's just reality. It's probably going to happen. However, I do think the even schedule will help us too. I think that's a big component in that we get to play each team and we don't have to play the Yankees 19 times anymore.
Oh my God. Thank God.
I know the Red Sox aren't going to be as good, but we don't have to play in Fenway that many times. Yeah. It's a tough place to play. We don't have to play in Toronto all that many times either.
You don't have to play the AL East winning Baltimore Orioles.
And that too.
Oh yeah, I need to
they're not gonna win I need the AL East, but they're gonna be good.
Okay.
But
that's the take.
We get we get to play the AL Central. I mean, that might come back to haunt me this weekend, but who is typically a worse division. We get to play the NL Central, who is typically a worse division. The NL East is better this year than they have been in past. I guess they were good last year too.
But I guess the Red Sox kind of took a step back, but with that Japanese guy they got, pretty good.
And the NL West isn't that stat. Like, the top two teams are really good, but other than that, nothing that great. I mean, the Rockies, Diamondbacks, and who's their fourth team?
Giants. The Giants have kind of fallen off a little bit.
Yeah, those three teams, we get to play all three. Though, like, we just get a much more favorable schedule, which will help us. Like I said, I'm not expecting us to stay 100% healthy, but I do think that we hopefully will not be as injured as last year, and I'm expecting really good things from this team.
Yeah, I think that this team is playoff caliber. I think that this team can challenge for the division. I don't want to make any sort of specifics in terms of saying that they will win or they won't win or they will make a wild card or they won't make a wild card, because anything can happen, to be honest with baseball. But I think that this team is more than playoff ready. I think that they have a strong offense when healthy. So guys like Bilal,
When healthy and when on, I will say, because Bilal goes on cold stretches. Randy's known to have gone on cold stretches. You know, guys get hot and cold all the time. But, I mean, when they're on, this team is as any team in baseball. And the pitching, I mean, having Eflin, the Rays are going to and have already found ways of making Zach Eflin a better pitcher, because I think that his breaking stuff is already looking better and from what I saw in spring training. So that itself is already something. So if the Rays have found a way to do that in a month of game action of having him, then imagine what's going to happen over the course of an entire season with him. So I think that
absolutely
really going to benefit them. And I really do hope that a lot of these minor league guys come up. Like, we get to see Curtis Meade for an extended period of time. We get to see Aranda for an extended period of time. Tristan Gray comes up. Maybe Kyle Manzardo comes up at the end of the year. Maybe Nico Holsizer, if he's good enough, comes up at the end of the year. We see Taj Bradley at some point. You know, there's a lot of guys. You know, Brujan's going to be down there. Yanni's going to be down there. Patino's going to be down there. You know, there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking up and down. But I think it's going to be cool. And I really do hope that we get a lot of guys that are coming in, a lot of minor league guys that are getting longer than just a cup of coffee, that are getting more extended stays, you know, to just show what they have. Because I think that the Rays actually have some really, really, really good players, not just like, you know, us being on like the Taylor Walls and Vidal Brujan hype train only for it to fall apart. Like, Curtis Speed is like legitimately a stud, and Kyle Manzardo has shown a lot of great things,
and Aranda has too.
Really good in the majors. So
however, Aranda was good last year. So anybody who could touch the ball was good for the Rays last year. I will say that. But I did like, he obviously, that was more so a joke, but he did show a lot of promise last year.
Yeah.
I'll say one thing about, you know, the kind of playoff kind of conversation. You know, I think a lot of guys and, you know, a lot of fans know that with a lot of guys and their contracts kind of expiring in the near future, that this might be the time that you really got to make a run. Or like a lot of guys feel like it's really like it's now or never, or not never, but, you know, for them in their careers, you know, I feel like a lot of guys, they want to make that splash in the postseason, make that run again, just like they did in 2020, this time with fans at the Trop. You know, I feel like they know with the timing and everything that it has to be a special season for them. So I'm really hopeful. I'm super excited, and I think the team looks great, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I think we're all really excited, and I mean, opening day is right around the corner, so we are all really excited for that. But I think with that being said, I think that is going to conclude things on this latest episode of Raise the Roof. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we appreciate all of your support that you guys have given us. Make sure to follow us on social media. Make sure to follow us not just on Twitter, but also on our Instagram at Raise the Roof TB. Support these podcasts as you guys have been, and we're going to be having a lot more stuff going on over the course of the year. It's not just going to be the giveaways. We're going to be trying to get stuff that we used to do back up. Hopefully, we're going to be trying to go into games a lot more, giving you guys content in any sort of way possible. So definitely be on the lookout for that. That's going to conclude things on this latest episode of Raise the Roof. Thanks for listening, and as always, raise up.
Raise up, baby.
Raise up.